Hey friends, I'm Jess Connolly. I'm an author, a coach, a Bible teacher, and a local church leader, and I love talking to real people who know what it means to have full lives, but also want to walk in abundance. This podcast is for you. It's not my podcast, it's ours. It's for people who crave lighthearted conversations and deeply spiritual truth. It's for people who are busy, tired, waiting, growing, dreaming, working, or praying about what's next. Wherever you're listening from, if it's quiet, mundane, or busy, I am praying for you and I'm so glad you're here. Let's go. Here on the Jess Connolly podcast, we like to give the people what they ask for. We mean it when we say, this isn't my podcast, it's yours. And one episode you all have requested the most frequently is something for the single gals. So here's the deal. I got engaged in my literal teens and I haven't been on a first date for 23 years. So I decided to pull in my favorite single gal, my teammate and my friend, Liz Cox. And today we're asking each other this question: to do our best and advocate for all our friends, what do you wish your married friends knew and vice versa? We're diving in to discover how we understand each other better, love each other well, and how we can better learn from one another. Let's dive in. Elizabeth, welcome to the podcast.
Hi, Jessica. Thank you so much.
We were trying to recap this morning, Katie and I, and Katie said, has Liz ever been on the podcast? And I said, I think you've been on the Go and Tell Gals podcast, but not this iteration.
Correct.
Of the pod. Welcome.
Thank you.
So just really briefly, I want to just say, will you share about what your role is on the team at Go and Tell Gals? Ever fluid as it is.
That's a great question. You know, it is really funny and cute to think about you saying, so for context, yes, I have not been on the Jess Connolly podcast, but I've been on the Go and Tell Gals. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure it may have been a year to the date.
I think it might have been. That's what I was just thinking.
It was my first day.
Yeah, it was your first day. L-O-L. And I was like, come get on the podcast.
I was like, just if you really want to throw back.
Welcome.
Dig deep. But yeah, no, I started literally tomorrow is my 1 year.
Wow.
I know. How sweet is that?
That's sweet.
So over the last year, I feel like I've worn a couple different hats, but mostly I help with all things media.
Yeah. I feel like we've really found your sweet spot. Mm-hmm. So if you like any reels or posts really from Jess Connolly, from my Instagram account or from the Go and Tell Gals.
Yeah, for sure. Go and Tell Gals.
Yeah. It's usually Liz has her hands in it.
Yes.
In a lot of different ways.
I'm talking to you in the comments and the DMs.
Yeah. If you've watched a video that we've made, Liz was behind the camera.
Yeah, it's probably me.
Yeah.
It's been a joy.
So we work together, but also I want to set the stage first. So context, you know, is king and it helps us understand. Mm-hmm. I want you guys to understand where we're coming from. And especially it feels most important in this episode because we live in Charleston, South Carolina. Yes. We go to a church together called Bright City Church that is, I would say, one of the most affirming and encouraging places for women that I've ever been.
Yes.
I'm giving all this context to say a lot of maybe some of the tension that we're going to speak to today, you and I have seen and or experienced in other places.
Yes.
But it's not necessarily overly prevalent in our community.
Yeah.
No. It's something we want to watch because we don't want it to be prevalent. Right. But we're in a really interesting just space. And I'll say something that's really interesting about Charleston, too, is that because it's a tourist town, mm-hmm. because it's a lot of young people, mm-hmm. I think a lot of people who are listening, who might listen to this episode, might be in communities that are more family-centric.
Yeah.
Charleston is actually sometimes maybe a little bit more difficult for families because there's a heavy go-out culture. It's very normal for people from our church to be going out every night of the week to dinner or meeting up or that's very normal.
It's a very heavy
play. Exactly. Yeah. We have a lot of single women at our church. Yeah. So there is not much siphoning off between single and married people. And again, just some context for people who might be listening, I think that a pain point that maybe we're going to hear you touch on is there are a lot of single people who only have married friends. Yeah. I'm in a little bit of a different situation. Like I've got some married friends, but a lot of my friends are single.
Yeah.
And it's very normal for me to be in their orbit.
Right.
I'd also say context is king. And I am a mom and I am a mom before and I have been married. And my kids are older.
Yeah.
So
yeah, that's a unique phase.
It's a unique phase. So it actually is easier for me to live in a more like single lady orbit than it was when my kids were 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
For sure.
I just like to give that context.
I think it's necessary.
But yeah, our city is very single people centric. Mm-hmm. Our church is, I think from my perspective, like there are fewer groups where kids are involved.
Oh, for sure.
Whereas in churches I've been in the past, that's been like the norm. Like you have to find out childcare in all the groups.
100%.
We have like one.
Yeah, it's my group.
Yeah, it's yours.
Shocker.
So I feel like that's helpful.
For sure.
Past communities I've been in, when I look back, I have deep compassion for the single women and the single men who were like, maybe just like having to like graft in.
Just assimilate.
And assimilate, exactly. Yeah. But that's not necessarily our context.
No, but what's interesting for me, so for context, I've lived here 2 years and Charleston has been so healing and so refreshing for many reasons, but a lot of it has been, it is the culture we just described is the polar opposite of what I came from.
Yeah.
I'm from Kentucky, so I'm in the South, which, you know, Charleston is too, but Charleston is an anomaly.
It's got its own little vibe.
Yeah, it's its own thing. But I was before I moved here, I was the last single woman of my friend group. Everyone I lived with met their husband while we lived together.
Yeah.
We would joke that I was the lucky charm. Like if you lived with me, you'd get married. And there's like pain to that, but it was also beautiful.
Yeah.
And we'll get into that.
Yeah.
But yeah, it kind of was like, oh, like last summer, was the wedding of like, I was maid of honor. It was like, all right, I think this might be my last wedding that I'm in. Number 13.
Wow. Maybe.
And now they're all having babies this year, which is beautiful. And I love it. And aunt life is my best life. But it is such a both and.
Yeah.
It's all of it. It's all of it.
The other piece of context I want to give is within Go and Tell Gals. So obviously this is the Jess Connolly podcast. It used to be known as the Go and Tell Gals podcast. Go and Tell Gals is kind of like our parent brand that encompasses both the work I get to do and also Go and Tell Gals what we do through coaching. Mm-hmm. But we also equip a lot of single women. That is very normal for us. So we have a large contingency of our coaches that we certify in our coaching process who are single.
Yeah.
So I just think it's sometimes specifically in regards to like how women are affirmed and encouraged in their gifts and given space to lead and given space to do what they want. Yeah. We all have to constantly remember like what we're experiencing is not the norm.
Right.
And I just want to like hold that up. But if I can, even at the top of this episode, to encourage to say like, there is a better way.
100%.
And I think by God's grace, like, and just kind of by the nature of our city and our church and like, and our business, we're getting to see a better way.
Yeah.
And I want to give that context. Before I get into more of our disclaimers, I know you have this later in your notes, but I want you to cut to it now. I think you said something really beautiful a minute ago about like removing one word from a sentence. Will you just like speak into that right now?
Yeah, I would love to. So Jess and I both put question boxes up and have just kind of, you know, done a focus group, if you will, on the internet of like, what do you guys need to hear? And multiple people sent in things, and this is no shade to anybody, but would say things along the lines of like, well, how do I love my single friend? How do I invite my single friends into things with my couple friends? And my gut reaction, and I say this with so much love, is like, do you hear what you're saying? Like, take out those, friend is the denominator of what you're saying here. Yeah. So like, remove quote unquote single friend, remove couple friend. They are your friends.
They're just your friends.
Period.
Yeah.
Period.
You just invite them in.
You just invite them in. Stop. Yeah. Like you are hindering the richness of cultivating community when you siphon things off like that.
Yeah.
When you say there's this party and this party. Yeah. No, it's all of it.
Yeah.
Because we're all whole humans. Yeah. Our marital status is not what we walk into a room with. Uh-uh. But there's a lot we could say.
It could be.
But it shouldn't be.
Yeah.
And we're going to get into that. But that at the top of the episode, like, that is where we're coming from, is the hope and the prayer that can be more of the posture that is held of, like, there is no single and couple. Like, oh, you're single? Oh, you're a couple? Wouldn't have known. We're all just friends.
Interesting. Like, yeah. You and I first started talking about this episode a couple weeks ago, mm-hmm. because we were doing an episode on community and rest. And I was showing you the questions I was getting from women, and they were so interesting to me because right beside each other, one question would be, how do I rest well as a single woman? Yep. And the next question would be, like, how do I ever find time to rest when I'm married and have kids? And we just had so much compassion for this nature in us that wants to kind of identify our disclaimers and our qualifiers and our caveats to what we need. And I think that there's something so beautiful about making space with our friends and with our people to say, hey, this is what it's like for me. Let me be known by you. That's a phrase I'll use a lot. Let you know me and share a little bit about what this is like for me. But I think that it would be so harmful if we did that and it left us more siphoned.
Yeah.
And if at the end of this episode, you were like, married people don't get it, or like, oh, the single girls have no idea. That would be such a bummer.
Yeah.
Because the truth is, like, most of us don't understand each other's things, but we can move toward one another and say, tell me more.
Right.
Help me understand. Right. And then I think a lot of times what we're going to find, and what you and I found, even in planning this episode, is like, the issues are the same.
Oh, honestly, it was hilarious.
They're just different flavors.
I wish you could all see these questions and answers. Like, you're saying the same thing.
We're all saying the same thing. It makes us feel so alone and siphoned off. So that being said, here's our first disclaimer. We don't speak for everybody. So I certainly don't speak for all married women. I know you're not trying to speak for all the single women. No. Neither of these communities is a monolith that, like, has one voice. We're just kind of sharing our perspective. The second disclaimer is, if you haven't heard us really kind of share this already, I think something I want you to know about both of us is that we don't feel bitter about the other group of people.
Mm-mm.
And I know you have heard me say this. I hope you've seen me live it, Liz, but I want to say specifically, like, I believe single women are whole, are holy, are not just valuable to the kingdom, but should be empowered and equipped in the kingdom, not with any caveats on them of, like, and you'll get more of this access to God, to holiness, to righteousness, to wisdom, to using your gift once you're married.
Come on.
You're a whole person right now. So in the name of Jesus, if you didn't know that we feel that way, we do.
We feel that way deeply.
We do. We're going to start with just, Liz is going to share a couple of things. Hey, this is what we wish maybe, or I wish that married women knew about our situation. Then I'll share mine. Then Liz is going to share a couple, like, hey, here are some ways that you could show up for me. And I'll share a couple of those. And then we're going to go into some notable mentions, things we heard from women on the internet that we just think are worthy of everybody listening to.
Yes.
Go for it. Liz, what do you wish married women knew about you, your life, everything?
Buckle up. No, I'm just kidding. It's really interesting. Before I get going, like, I was thinking about this, and I really kind of expected myself to get spicy about things. And there's a little spice in there every now and then, but I'm just so tender for, and listen, I've been in the single game a long time.
Yeah.
So I think I've refined these things and just have experienced them in different levels. But as I say these, I just want you guys to hear, like, I hold so much tenderness for my single sisters and my married sisters.
Yeah.
Just, no one's doing anything wrong.
Yeah.
We're all doing the best we can.
That's right.
And so much of it is just awareness,
yeah,
vulnerability, and communication.
Yeah. Like, we don't know what we don't know.
We don't know what we don't know.
So we're going to help each other know.
Yeah. We as single women need to be vulnerable with ourselves to acknowledge what is true, to acknowledge what we need to be aware of so that we can stop pointing fingers or trying to blame other people for things that maybe are things that we need to hold for ourselves.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. And again, this is like 10 plus years of singleness speaking, but there are still things, all that to say, I got down to these and I was like, at the end of the day, these still ring true.
Yeah.
So the first one that came to mind, which also I think is just in light of, I've been thinking about it a lot, just with tired of being tired conversations. Yeah. And I think, well, let me say it and then I'll get into it. But the first one is, I wish people knew that it can be incredibly exhausting being the only one making decisions for my life.
Yeah.
I think single women, and I'm going to speak for myself, but I feel like I will maybe get echoes of like, yes and amen, can feel shame about saying I'm tired.
Oh,
yeah, I might cry.
That just breaks my heart.
Yeah, because I think it's a given that moms are tired. It's a given that married women are tired. It's a given that divorced women, widowed women, single mom, you know, going back to single mom, like they're tired. You can see it. It makes sense. But then you look at a single person's life and you see them having fun and you see them having freedom and you see them having all of these things and you see what you want to see.
Yeah.
What you don't see is that I make my budget.
Right.
Or I don't.
Right.
I have to take the trash out. Right. Or it doesn't get taken out. Right. I have to do all the things and it can be really exhausting. Now, over time, I have the best community in the world and they come in but I have to ask them to.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of my pride can help make me resist their help.
Yeah.
Because I have gotten so used to making the decisions, it's easier for me to have that quote unquote control.
Yeah. I think in general, if we could encourage women to stop quantifying their fatigue
yes.
and using it as a weapon against each other. Nobody's more tired than anybody. Like
yeah.
everybody's tired. To live in the year of our Lord 2024 is exhausting. Emotional, spiritual, physical, and mental fatigue is real because we're living under the effects of a fallen yeah. world. And so it's going to be a different kind of tired when you're the only one to take yeah. the trash out and a different kind of tired when there's somebody making more trash. And the exactly. enemy is distracting us by yeah. qualifying it uh-huh. and quantifying it and saying like mine is worse and yours is worse. And like as if even spending our energy on trying to figure out who's more tired is going to help any of us.
Right.
It's not.
Like it's not a competition.
And I can tell you like writing Tired of Being Tired and watching the single women in my life, I had nothing but compassion for them. I have never once in any of the writing or research thought like they don't really understand this. I've thought they understand this in their own
yeah.
different and special way.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, like our fatigue may look different from one another, but it doesn't mean mine and is any less real than yours
no.
and yours is any less real than mine.
Yeah.
Fatigue is not biased.
Right.
Like it doesn't say like, I'm just going to cling to that one demographic.
Right.
No, that's not how it works.
Thanks God. Amen.
There is a better way.
There is a better way.
The next thing I could talk about this, my next two things kind of go hand in hand. And this was an interesting one because I would say the voices of the internet, this was the resounding one I read again and again and again from both sides of the table. Next one is, I want to be a part of your world, even if it looks different than mine. In fact, it's especially because it looks different than mine. That's biblical.
Yeah.
That's the body of Christ.
Yeah.
I want to see the nuances of your life.
Yeah.
I want you to see mine.
Yeah.
That's called friendship.
Yes.
That's that period.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and even if we were both single, our lives look different.
Yeah.
So why are we segmenting it as if, you know, seasons look drastically different?
So good.
That I wouldn't want to be a part of it still.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that one's just plain and simple. And then on that too, kind of in addition to, but also the last one that I feel incredibly passionate about, being known and loved by your husband and family blesses me.
Yeah.
It actually helps me cast vision for the family I pray for
Oof.
Of my own.
So beautiful.
Yeah.
I've really been blessed by any time one of my friends is like, hey, I would love time with Nick too.
Yes.
And I'm like, oh, right, right.
Yeah.
You know, like that is so encouraging. Or, and of course, when people like want to know my kids, you know, I mean, which you're the best at. My kids text you about problems before they text me sometimes.
It's my favorite.
I love that, Liz. Those are so good. Okay. I'm going to jump into what I think some married women might say they wish single people knew, and some of these might be obvious and some might not be. There's really only two. I've shared this with you, I know, and I feel like you don't need it to be shared with, but in the same way that I think there are a lot of married women who maybe discount the fatigue of single women or the loneliness or anything like that, I think that there are times when I have felt like single women have like almost said they have the like corner on loneliness or pain or financial fear. And they've said, you won't get it. And the thing I would just say is like, I don't get your exact version of it. I want my single friends, especially any of my single friends who want to get married, to know that marriage actually doesn't like cut your loneliness or your fear or your depression in half. It doubles it. So like, that's how it feels to me. Now, again, like holding that with the space of like, and I don't know the stress of making the financial decisions alone. So it's like, I have that beautiful added benefit. And also, if we're struggling financially, it's now like, well, there's six of us.
Right.
You know, like there's not going to be, you know, there's six of us who aren't going to have somewhere to live next month. And that's not my case right now, praise God. But like, you never know. Like the economy's crazy. You know, it's been that way before in our family in the past.
Say,
yeah.
You can
We've lived that story in the past. And so I think sometimes like there have been moments where I felt a little bit discounted, like, oh, well, you have Nick. Or like you walked this season with us again, which is why I don't have to like describe it to you. And we've talked about it on the podcast a good bit. But when like Mick went through a mental health crisis at the end of 2023, we both went through a mental health crisis, you know, it wrecked my life too. And so sometimes like, I even just say that again to prepare single women to say like, if you think you won't feel lonely, you will sometimes feel double lonely.
Yeah.
If you both are struggling in community, you'll be like, nobody likes us.
Yeah.
Or if you're in a fight, all of a sudden being in a house with someone that you're supposed to be one with that you can't speak to is like just a gut-wrenching, crazy feeling, you know, and they're different and they're real. So again, I want to share the caveat of like, I've never felt like I had to say that to you because I feel like you see that and you want to see the married friends in your life, but there might be single women who like haven't noticed that.
I feel like you just like ripped the roof off a house that needed like new roof. Like I just, I think, I don't know that I know that of you and I experienced that of you, but the deep release I think a lot of single women probably just heard and felt by that, because that's not something we think of.
Yeah.
That's, you know, we, well, I don't want to say this for everyone, but marriage, it so much feels like this arrival.
Right.
And it's not. It's not. It's beautiful. It's a gift. God blesses it. But in the same breath that we've said, like, we are whole people with or without you know, a marriage license.
Yeah.
The same is true. Like the pains that we feel as single women do not exit the house just because a man enters it.
100% And it's a, it's actually like marriage is a multiplier in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
So it multiplies your joy. And that's where I'm like, I always want to hold grief from or my single friends for that, to say like, I know you feel joy.
Yeah.
I know you're a whole person.
Right.
I know your life is whole. I also can resonate when you say you have a deep desire to be married. Cause I'm like, I get it.
Yeah.
I don't want to be the one telling you like, oh, it's such a problem. It's great. Marriage is great. It's a multiplier.
Sure.
It's just also a multiplier of grief.
Yeah.
And it's a multiplier of depression and it's a multiplier of fear. And like there are moments where, you know, God puts you together and you're stronger for one another. And then there's moments where you're like, uh-oh, we're just double what we were. You know, because we're one flesh. So now there's two of us.
There's two of us.
Oh, well, I love you. And I love this conversation.
I know. Like we have to keep it under an hour.
Here's my only thing. Other what single women might not know that married women feel. You might know this, but we are often very jealous of your life.
Yeah.
And I say that, and I want to air that out for married women too, to say like, hey, what do we do with envy? We confess and repent of it because it keeps us from intimacy with one another.
Yeah.
So I'm not saying that as a flag to say like, and that's okay. Mm-hmm. Like married women, if you are feeling envious and jealous of your single friends and like what your perception is of their freedom, number one, repent, because that is actually keeping you from looking down at your feet and declaring Psalm 16:6, the boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Mm. What's more, it's not just like keeping you from contentment and joy about your life stage, but it is also keeping you from closeness with them, because you're using that perception to separate you a little bit. Yeah. But I think it might also be helpful for some single women to know, like, also, if you ever leave a situation or an encounter with a married woman who is making it seem like it's all tidy and she's got it all together and she knows you're going home to like watch TV and like not have to talk about your feelings or not have to like wipe someone's actual bottom, she might be like, must be nice. Mm-hmm. And she might not be able to say it. So that's hers to deal with. But your married friends are probably a little bit jealous. Yeah.
And to which I would say, I get it.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
But also, it's so interesting. I called my best friend yesterday. We started out, we became best friends when we were single, and now she's married with three littles who are the loves of my life. But she said that. She said, I don't know if Jess will say this or not, but like, it needs to be said, like, I'm jealous of your life. She said, but I also hold space for the fact that you're jealous of mine too. Like, I know you want to wipe some baby butts.
Right.
Like you wish you could come home and pick up play clothes and, you know, but I also wish I could live in Charleston and like do the thing, you know.
And that's why we can't weaponize it against each other to be like, well, must be nice or you have this. Like, that's not helping us. It's not serving anybody.
No, it's not cute.
Yeah.
It's not cute.
Okay, Liz, how are some ways that, I know the list is not exhaustive, but how are some ways that married women could show up better for their single friends?
Yeah.
Also known as their friends.
Right off the top of that, and I feel like this goes without saying because I feel like I've probably said it a lot, but it needs to continue to be said. Ask me about my life beyond how my love life is going.
I love you wrote this down. I saw it in the notes and I was like, oh, I feel called up.
Yeah. I live a holistic life.
Yep.
Show interest in all of it. Now, let me say, too, that's not to say don't ever talk to me about my dating life.
Come on. Ask about it.
Ask about it. Listen, shameless plug.
Yeah.
Set me up.
Let it happen.
You know what I mean? Like, we've talked about this a lot. I think God has just like given me this posture, which also the best friend I just referenced also is like, yeah, I think you resist it sometimes. I'm like, yeah, I know. But all that to be said, I try to live in a way that is content with where I am.
Yeah.
But have an open-handed posture of like,
yeah,
whenever God, whenever, whoever. Not whoever, we have standards, but I'm never going to tell someone, don't set me up.
Yeah.
If I trust them and how they, you know, view humans. But all that to say, that is a small part of my life.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it's the building block to something that could be a massive part of my life, but that is not all of my life. That is not my current life.
Yeah.
So love all of me, not just a part of me.
So good.
The next one. Okay, this I thought about this morning. This is just really tangible and a thing that I just don't think people think about a lot. Ask if we want to ride together.
I think that you might have changed a lot of lives.
Yeah.
Say more.
There is something, and I'm a brave girl, but like I'm 32 years old and still thinking I have to show up alone to this. I don't know who's in the room yet. I don't know who's there.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I can own a room. I can walk in and own a room. But so hear me say,
yeah,
if I feel like that,
yes,
there are people that will never leave their house because the fear of showing up alone will keep them isolated.
Right.
So even the amount of times, it's not even them swinging by to pick me up. It's, okay, I'm going to come to your house first, and then we're all going to ride together.
Mm-hmm.
Whether that be church, whether that be especially this was something someone on the internet was like, how do we, you know, as single women celebrate well at wedding showers and baby showers and the things that I long for but are not yet mine? And all the more, I just think if we can eradicate isolation and loneliness the most we can, and something as practical as a carpool.
Come on.
It's so small, but it's so big.
Yeah, I love it. That's life-changing. And I would have never thought about that.
Right.
So it actually like shifts the way I think about going into community events. And I'm so glad you said it.
Well, that's, yeah. I think too, it goes back to like my days in, you know, ministry. I was a young life leader for 7+ years. And that's the time in the car is time with each other.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. And so much of, I don't know, it's not just a car ride.
Yeah.
It's so much more than that. It's saying I'm inviting you in
to
my life.
Yeah.
I don't care if your minivan has crumbs all over the floorboards and, you know, there's leftover applesauce in the cup holder. Like, okay.
Yeah.
I don't care. I love you and I want time with you.
That's really sweet.
And I would love to not show up to this place alone.
So good.
And I think this next one kind of rides off of invite me into your life, but with the, because this has been done to me more times than I would appreciate. Like, please don't invite me in out of obligation or pity because I'm the single one.
Yeah.
But also don't not ask me because you're making an assumption about what my answer is going to be.
Right.
Please do not make assumptions about what you think I'm going to say.
So good. That's like such a great rule for everyone.
Everyone.
Like, don't say no for people.
No.
Yeah.
No. And with that, like, don't assume that I don't want to be the third wheel. Don't assume that I don't want to be the fifth, seventh, whatever wheel. Again, that goes to not being like, I'm the single friend and you're the couples. Like, we're all friends.
We're just friends.
But I also want to like call up and say to my couple friends, married friends, like, we are like, it's also okay to call us up to have tough skin that sometimes you're going to hang out without us.
Okay. Can I be honest with you?
Yeah.
I was just thinking in the back of my head, I wonder if any single women think that we want to hang out without them. Mm-hmm. I have never experienced that feeling in my life.
Yeah.
I have never once in my life thought like, I need time alone with this one other couple to like talk about their marriage or to ask them a question or to like, I don't think I have ever once thought, I really wish this was just our married friends.
Mm-hmm.
Or like, I've literally never felt that way in my whole life. So obviously I don't speak for all married women, but I do want to kind of say like, if there are married women who would say like, oh, sometimes it's nice if it's just our couple friends, I would say like, why? Why?
Why?
Like what?
Mm-hmm. Because at the end, like to me, that says there's an issue with the friendship.
Right.
Not that they're single.
Yes. Right.
Like that's.
Right. There's some kind of other culture issue.
Something else going on there. That's not a marital status issue.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or like, what are you talking about in the room of married people that a single person can't sit
in on the
conversation?
That's what I'm thinking. Like, you should not be talking about
it. Are you like,
maybe you just should not be talking about with married couples. Yeah. I mean, even like, okay, let's pause here. Okay. So let's say I'm with a bunch of girlfriends and you and I have been in this situation before.
Mm-hmm.
Mixed company, like no men, but like mixed company, married and single friends.
Yeah.
If we start talking about sex in general, I'm like a little bit more cautious to talk about sex, which is not my personality. I talk about sex all the time.
I'm like, you're very open.
But I'm a little bit more cautious to talk about it because my husband and I are pastors. So I'm like, I recognize the very real.
I don't want to know about my pastor's sex life. Thank you.
Real trauma of like, you had to watch us preach. Like, that's not it. And I always want to like keep my husband safe and keep the best parts of our marriage, like just for us. But that being said, there have been times when I've been in groups with you and I think I've said something along the lines of like, is this chill?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Which you're usually like, yes, it's fine.
Please.
Yeah. And I've also had single friends in that situation say like, I don't actually want to be a part of this conversation.
Yeah.
And I've said like, okay, then we won't have it.
Yeah.
Like then we don't need to have it.
Right.
You know, like you get to say that. That's not even being selfless as a friend to just say like, my friend doesn't want to talk about this.
It's just honoring.
It's just human.
Yeah.
So that's okay.
I know.
Go back to your list. I could
really get on one about that. Yeah. Just like, invite me because you want me there, not because.
Yeah.
Don't make assumptions and like, don't invite me because I'm something to check off your list because you've like served the single girl.
I cannot.
If you want me to go throw up that,
don't take that away from this episode at all, that we're going to like try to like serve and, you know, I mean, like we should serve each other, right? Like because we live in the kingdom. Yeah. But like we don't, there is not a ministry to single people.
No.
Like it's friendship.
Friendship.
Yeah, that's good, Liz.
It's female friendship, period. And not just co-ed friend. Anyway.
Right.
With that too, I think, and man, I could really go places with this, but please, please do not treat me like I have a scarlet letter on my chest or like I'm a charity to be donated to.
Yeah.
That feels kind of spicy to say, but it kind of goes back to the like, you know, I've had friends in my life that we were single together and then they got married and would then say things like, oh, we want to have you over. We just want to love you well.
Mm-mm. But like
the heart is good.
I hear you.
It's
but like
the language.
Yeah.
And the intention is pure, but there's an undertone of like, oh.
Yeah, that's not it.
I'm like, that's not cute. Get that out of here. No. Have me over because you love me and we're friends.
Right.
You can cook for me because I hate cooking and that loves me well.
Yeah.
Like, you know, not because I'm single.
Yeah. And expect me to love you well too. I'm talking like I'm a single person. But like, that's what I would want to say. Like, listen, I'm loving on you too. You need just as much help as I do.
Yeah.
You're still a sinner. You still need God.
Amen.
You still need Jesus. You still need to grow. You still need sanctification, as do I. Your like, ring did not make you more like holy or set apart in some way.
No.
Yeah. I'm so glad you said that.
Just, again, I am a whole person just as you are too. So let's honor each other in holding ourselves to that. My marital status is not a problem to be fixed.
Woo!
It is a season to be stewarded, as is marriage, as is motherhood, as is wherever you are.
If I wasn't so concerned about the price of these microphones, I would drop this mic.
The end.
Just
kidding.
Amen. Okay, I'm going to share mine, but I want to give the caveat of you know all these things and you do them well for me, Elizabeth, and all the women in our community do.
Well, and
so I almost feel silly saying
you do all those well for me too.
Well, I'm going to do the writing together thing because I don't do that.
You don't know what you don't know.
Yeah,
I don't think a lot of people knew that.
Yeah, I don't think a lot of people did either. So I'm excited to do that.
It's a fun tangible.
Yeah. Here's my first one. Ask about my husband and kids.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like care about them because I care about them. My like comma, again, you care so much about my kids. Like they
so
text
much.
You, like they love you and you care so much about my husband. My like them. Comma here, and this could be a whole other episode, is like, don't talk bad about my husband or my kids.
Do not.
It's a never. So Mama this is tricky. I want to say for single women, this is tricky. Because this is one of those like unspoken rules. So if we are talking and I'm mad at my husband, mm-hmm. I can say whatever, but you cannot.
Yeah. No, this has been a huge thing I've had to do with friends.
Yeah.
And
also single women, you can call me up if I'm defaming my husband.
Yeah.
You can say like, Jess, you don't want to talk about him like that. I shared this on Annie Downs' podcast, which we're going to talk about at the end.
So good.
But I talked about my friend Laura Troutman, who's one of my best friends. She's been one of my best friends since I was like 18, 19. And she happens to be single. And she was one of the first people to call me up maybe 6 months into marriage. Mm-hmm. And I said something unkind about Nick. And she was like, absolutely not.
Yeah.
Like, we're not going to talk about your husband like that. And I mean, number one, Laura has the capacity to call me up in anything, in any area of my life, but she absolutely has the authority, even though she happens to not be married, to call me up in my marriage and to push me to righteousness. She doesn't need to know what it's like to be married to call me to righteousness. She knows righteousness.
Come on.
She doesn't need to understand motherhood to push me to the presence of God to experience more in my motherhood, you know? And so I want single women to know, and I want married women to hear me saying, like, if you are believing that your single friends do not have something to teach you, you need to repent and be humbled because you can and should be learning from them and letting them encourage you and teach you. You do not hold all access to wisdom just because you've been married. I've been married almost 20 years. Okay, our friend Katie's in the room right now. The night Katie got engaged and that whole weekend, one of the most intentional things I tried to say to her, you might have missed it, Katie, because a lot of people were speaking life over you. But I said, I cannot wait to learn from you in marriage. And that's because Katie, when she gets married, whenever it is, you let us know the date, Katie, when she gets married, as soon as she's married, I'm going to be learning from her as a wife.
Yeah.
And that's because she knows God and she's going to experience wisdom and truth and insight. And so anyways, that was my soapbox, but ask about my husband and kids. Don't talk bad about them. Don't say like, oh my God, yeah, he's the worst, because then you will not be safe for me and I won't be able to talk to you anymore. Yeah,
that's a huge thing I've had to learn. You know, I can get riled up. Like if you're passionate about something, I'll be passionate about something.
Yes.
And if you're coming to me, we've grown and matured now, but you know, she would come frustrated with me about something. And I was like, yeah, no, that's terrible. He's so silly.
Yeah.
I said very different words, but that for the podcast, those are the things that I said. And, you know, couples therapy, and they were like, yeah, no, don't. That's not safe for your friends to like.
Which you can see how it was good hearted. You were trying to be on her team.
I'm on your team.
Yeah.
But on your team is pointing them to Jesus.
Yeah.
And that is, I'm saying that with so much conviction, humility of even when I've had friends that I'm like, I am not crazy about your husband, but I'm crazy about you.
Yes.
And I'm crazy about Jesus.
Yes.
And so like, because that's been a conversation I've had with lots of friends, is like, married or not, you know, single or not, like, what if I don't love my friend's husband?
Yes.
Like, and I don't want to spend time with him, or I don't want to, you know, whatever. And it's like, there's a lot of roads to go down with that. But ultimately, like, there's only one, and it's Jesus.
Yeah.
And
you still talk about him or her like they're an image bearer of God. And that's
there it is.
Yeah, same. You and I have had friends walk through like separation and divorce and like really tough marriage stuff. And I have tried really hard and failed and had to apologize to, even in the midst of like deep pain, watch my tongue and talk about someone like they're an image bearer of God. And even to say like, okay, if this person, if this spouse that I am not particularly fond of right now, if they totally repented and came back to the Lord, like, would I be on their team? Or would I have defamed them so heavily that I wouldn't even trust them? And then I'm like distorting the gospel if I don't want them to repent and heal and like, and love each other. And so that's a whole nother conversation.
I'm now theoretically dropping the expensive mic.
Mine is my second is not very similar to one of yours, and that's invite me out, even, and understand if I can't make it.
Yeah.
I had so many women in the comment box say like, I really wish my friends knew. I wish I could come out. I'm saying no. It's not because I'm like happy and cozy at home with my husband. In my newly married days, it's because I am trying to show this person that I value them more. Not even more, but I'm valuing them and our covenant in an intentional way. Yeah. Nick, 20 years into marriage, still, literally, I'm not kidding you, today, he said, I really appreciate that you told me that instead of telling somebody else first. And we're still at that point, 20 years in, where it's easier for me to call a girlfriend or my sister. And he said, thank you for sharing that with me first. That really meant a lot to me. Because it's still hard for me, you know, to like, to push all my like affection, thoughts, desire, like to the covenant first. But so that being said, there are women in the newly married season who want to spend time with their friends, who want to leave the house, who want to go out. They're going to say no because they're trying to learn how to be a wife. And then specifically, obviously, when kids come along. So you know this about me. I love to be invited. I rarely say yes.
Honestly, same.
But I like to be included.
Right. Let me know you want me.
Just let me know you want me. And then my third one is this, like ways you can show up for married women, women with kids. But I want to give a huge asterisk to it. And that is like, come into my orbit, like be willing to come into my orbit. Like, hey, I'll go to the gym with you, or I'll come watch your kids game, or I'll come do family Friday night with you guys. The big asterisk I want to give here is that I actually think single women are a lot better at this. And I think that there's been like a movement in the last 10 and 20 years, specifically within Christian culture, where we've been telling single women and single men this, like get in the orbit of married people. And now I almost want to just like as loudly say like, also married women, get out of your orbit.
Yep.
Like also go on the girls trip. Like yeah. stop making all the exceptions about why you can't.
Yeah.
And like you can like yeah. get out of your orbit. It will make you love your orbit more. It will make you show up better.
Yeah.
So this cannot be one-sided. It can't be only single people doing yeah. married things, whatever that is. It's not even a thing, but doing like family-centric things.
Yeah.
You know, it's got to be married women too, getting out of their orbit and saying like, what do you do on Thursday night? Yeah. I'm in. Let's figure it right. out. You know,
right.
can I come sit at your apartment and watch a movie with you? Like yeah. that would be fun. You yeah. know, I would like yeah. to do that at yours, by the way.
Great. Come on.
Thanks. Okay. We're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to come back with some notable mentions, things you all shared from the internet that you want to make sure we hit. From where I sit, where I record my podcast in my house, I can look at my very favorite piece of Lindsay Letters art that is on my wall. Lindsay Letters is an online store for people who want to create meaningful spaces in their lives. I'll also tell you that Lindsay of Lindsay Letters is a dear and good friend of mine, and I love her, and she has blessed me with her artwork for years now, and I buy a new piece almost once a year because I'm obsessed with her art and how it makes me feel. Lindsay specializes in abstract artwork with color palettes ranging from subdued neutrals to bright and bold, and she actually has over 300 pieces of art to choose from, including landscapes, vintage reproductions, some with just beautiful hand lettering and meaningful words. And she has art that's available as small scale art prints or huge, large scale framed canvases, and really honestly, everything in between. If you've ever looked at my Instagram and seen a piece of art in the background, it's Lindsay's because I love her art. I love what she does. I love her eye, and I love knowing her and knowing the beautiful, soulful thoughts behind her artwork. She is incredible just at creating really meaningful and inspiring pieces of art. I would love to offer you a 20% off code, which is huge, a 20% off code to apply to anything on Lindsay's website. And our hope is that when you see the art on your wall, it serves as a reminder that you're worthy of all the beauty the world has to offer. The code is JESS20, and it will get you 20% off your purchase. I cannot wait to see what you get. Tag me in it. I want to see the art that you pick for your house. All right, we're coming back in hot with just a few notable mentions, things that you guys wanted to make sure we say. So the first is this, the church needs to do better. I don't feel any kind of spicy about this. I feel like absolutely, this is a yes and. Let me say this, like people will ask me this from like a ministry perspective, like how do we equip single women? Again, back to Liz's wisdom. You just take out the word single and listen, I'd say you take out the word woman. Like you just equip people.
Okay.
You just equip people because they're image bearers of God and they're disciples and they're disciple makers. And like you equip them.
Period.
Period. So like where can they be used in the church? Where can't they be used in the church?
Come on.
Where can't they be used in the church? Now, if you go to a church that doesn't have women teach, obviously you're not going to have single women teach. If you go to a church where you have even men teaching, there should be single men teaching. Mm-hmm. We happen to go to a church where women do teach. We believe we're seeing an Edenic return to male and female partnership in the kingdom of God. We don't feel like it's a departure from scripture. We feel like it's an obedience to God's word. Mm-hmm. That's our church's interpretation of it. I don't know why Jesus doesn't snap his fingers and we all see it the same way, but he doesn't. And so I can actually respect that other churches don't see it from that perspective. Mm-hmm. But so if women can teach at my church, then single women can teach at my church.
Yeah.
Because they're whole people in the kingdom.
Yeah.
And your righteousness, again, is not dependent on a wedding ring.
Yep.
Period. So in the same way that the church is learning, like, representation matters, we cannot, in the name of Jesus, like, not platform single women in all the spaces that they want to be in.
Yeah.
I couldn't agree more with the people who said, like, single women are not just to be thrown in the nursery. I couldn't agree more. I like, in the name of Jesus, you know who needs to be in the nurseries? Single men, for sure, because none of them know how to change a diaper. But it would be helpful. The church absolutely, as a whole, needs to do better at this. And I would say, like, I don't think it should be on the single women to, like, ask about this to start this conversation. So for those of you who are in church leadership and you're realizing like, oh, we don't do this, like ask why, but don't make the assumption that they don't want to, because they do. They have gifts to use. Mm-hmm. And yeah, this is what the internet told us, and we agree.
We agree. Yeah, very much so. Another thing the internet asked was how to adjust to your single girly not being your number one after getting married. And I just hold so much tenderness for that. Mm-hmm. As I mentioned before, everyone that lived with me got married. Mm-hmm. So I have ripped this Band-Aid off 100 uh-huh. times over, and it never gets easier.
Yeah.
So I just want to hold space for that of, I hear you.
Yeah.
And it is a thing to grieve.
Yeah.
And it's okay to. It's okay to be sad. You can cry tears of joy and sorrow on their wedding day.
Come on.
Because it is a changing of the tides. And it's a beautiful changing of the tides, but it doesn't change the fact that it is change.
Sure.
And no one likes change.
Sure.
But do not just, how do I even want to say, like, don't shrink back just because it's different.
Yeah.
Again, I mean, I just feel like we're saying the same thing again and again and again, but it's because it matters. Like, do not make assumptions about what people's yes and no's are. Because I can say this because my friends have said it to me. Just as much as you miss her, she misses you too.
Mm-hmm.
You are not replaced. You're not replaced. Mm-mm. It just looks different.
Yeah.
And there are ways in which only you can love your friend.
Yeah.
In ways that her husband never can. And not in a way that's not a bad thing. It's a beautiful thing that there's something about female friendship that is different than marriage. And I think that's a thing to celebrate. So don't think that dies the minute she gets married.
So good.
It's all of it. So I just wanted to like tell you, you're not crazy if you're sad. That is human. And also she misses you too. So don't shy away from still inviting, still getting together, still. But also, like we said earlier, honor that she's figuring out what it looks like to honor her covenant.
Yeah.
And give her the space and the grace to do that, because she's not going to do it perfectly, and you're not going to do this new wave of, not even new wave, but new season of friendship perfectly either. But you're not crazy for being sad.
Not at all.
And too, there were also things, and I think I said this, but as a single gal, encouragement in how to celebrate well for weddings, showers, etc. Especially if singleness just feels tender for you. I will never, ever, ever forget one of my mentors back home in Kentucky. She was my pastor's wife, and I was in a really tender season of singleness, and she looked at me with tears in her eyes and said, I want you to know that your pain is real.
Yeah.
And I want you to know that, oh, I feel emotional talking about it again. She said, I don't think single women give their pain enough credit that in a lot of ways, it's like a mother in infertility. You're waiting for something that you have no control over.
Yeah.
And you're doing all that you can, but the wait is painful.
Yeah.
And that's okay to hold.
Yeah.
So with that, any season, and I know like bringing up infertility is intense, but I say that to like liberate my single friends of like, it's okay to acknowledge your pain.
Yeah.
But do not let it be the thing that leads your life.
Yeah.
Do not let it be the thing that walks into the room before you do, because you are so much more than your marital status.
Yeah.
Your worth is so much more. It is not defined by those things. So with that, how do you celebrate well is acknowledging, holding space for yourself, holding space for, you know, be vulnerable with yourself about what is real for you, but also like try to take yourself out of the equation in those moments to say like, I see my friend for what she is in.
Yeah.
This is not about me.
Yeah.
This is about what God has done in my friend's life, and let it be. Let their stories be stories of hope for you. Look at it and pray as you're there. Like, God, let this be a marker of hope for me. Let this
let this be something that happens for me one day. Like, just let it draw you to Jesus. I don't know. That's good. I have so many thoughts about that, but ultimately, like, don't let the enemy tell you lies about things that may never be for you when God is right there saying, like, but look what I have done. Yeah. The same can be true for you.
That's a word. Our last notable mention was a question that came up a couple of times. Mm-hmm. And that is it easier or simpler to serve Jesus married or single? Mm-hmm. I would like to answer this question. Yes. Yes. It's sometimes easier to do it single, and it's sometimes easier to do right. it married.
I was like, uh-huh.
Serving Jesus is like not a walk in the park.
No.
Like living a life of mission is takes some intention.
I'm like,
the spiritual armor of God. I don't think it's harder for either. I think it's different. I think it's different.
Yep.
I just think it's different. And I think, again, the point is we stop asking questions like, is it harder for me or is it harder for you? And we just say, like, tell me how it's hard for you. And can I let you be known by me and tell you how this is hard for me?
Come on.
And can we share the victories of both? And I think it's both.
Yeah. Each season has a unique calling.
Yeah.
You know, I have 5 godchildren because my season of singleness has allowed me to be heavily invested in my friends' children's lives.
Yeah.
My best friend yesterday was like, her kids are newborn 4 and 5. And she was like, the girls are going to start being really confused when they realize you're not actually their blood aunt. And I'm like, yeah, it's probably true. But, you know, if I was married with my own children, that probably wouldn't be the same story, but it is. And that's not to say every single woman is like, I want to be auntie to the kid, like whatever, you know, but our time is just different. And so asking God, how do I best use this, is a question we should always be asking.
Yeah. So good.
Always. Always. It doesn't matter if you're married or not.
Woof. All right, Liz, will you pray us out?
I would love to.
Why don't you just pray for these single ladies and pray for the married ladies?
I'd be honored.
In Jesus' name.
I'd be honored. God, thank you for just this conversation. We pray that chains be broken, Lord. We pray that freedom is felt, that compassion is built. God, we just pray that a revival of women and men would continue to rise up and cultivate community that is not built on valuing marital status, God, but valuing hearts and souls and image bearers of God. That is what we see before we see rings on fingers or any of the rest of it, God, that we would see you in one another before anything else, and that we would honor the images that we see. And God, correct us when we need correction. Humble us when we fall short. God, make us aware of our sins and our shortfalling so that we can be more compassionate, loving, gracious people that learn to love your people more. God, I pray for my single sisters that they would feel contentment and freedom and fullness in where God has them, Lord, that they would feel called up and believe for themselves that they are whole people worthy of every good and perfect thing from above, Lord, that they have not been forgotten. They have not been left behind. They are not your afterthought. They are your beloved, and you love them just as much as their married friends, just as much as anyone else, because they are your child. And God, I pray for my married friends. God, I pray just that they would honor their covenants, and that would bless the others around them, Lord, that this is, marriage is a gift from above. It is good and right and true and what you want for them, Lord. But I pray that you would continue to use marriages to love the people within them and the people outside of them well. But Lord, most of all, I just pray that we can just take away any false barriers that are put up that keep us from community, that keep us from seeing one another for who we are and what we are, which is yours.
So good.
And Jesus, just thank you for a space to have this conversation. Thank you for just leading the way, that there is a different way to do life and relationships and to lean towards the kingdom in all that we do. Jesus, we love you. We thank you. And we pray for healing and fullness. In your name, amen.
Amen.
Friends, I'm so grateful you listened to today's episode. Thanks for spending time with me. It would mean the world to me to connect with you. So you can send me a DM on Instagram at Jess A. Connolly or head to my website, jessconnolly.com, for more ways to connect. If you have a minute to subscribe and leave a review of the podcast wherever you listen, it would massively help us reach more people with the good news that they can live fully awake. Let's go.